Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. You are surfing the net. You stumble into something wretched. What should you do? Send it to us, idea@wretched.org, along with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, your snarks. Don't forget, you can use the text machine, 877-282-2337.
All righty. This first one is a text coming in from Anonymous. Todd, is it a separation issue if a if a church member that has been charged with having child pornography over a year ago hasn't yet been disciplined and still attends irregularly, but with no repentance?
Well, is it a member or is it a somewhat regular attender?
It's a member.
All right, but that's a problem. Mm. If a grotesque sin like that is known and not dealt with, first of all, you're not doing that individual any favors. Second of all, you are not being a shepherd protecting the sheep. There is a responsibility when a pastor discovers some sins that he must put a fence around certain things, not the church. If an individual is repentant, that is great. We welcome them. All sins can be forgiven, all of them. In fact, last night, I believe, in preparation for my sermon on Sunday at alpharettabiblechurch.org, see how I snuck in the website address with the thing, right? Was reading about from a dead guy, and he was James somebody from the 1800s. Talking about your peculiar sins, meaning they're kind of extraordinary. They are outside of the bread and butter sins that we all are dealing with. And he didn't get into a laundry list, but it would most likely involve sexual things, perhaps a grotesque crime like murder, like whoa type of peculiar sins. He was emphatic. And remember, this is a dead Puritan talking. You cannot out-sin God. In fact, the quote that I think that I gleaned from it that I liked is, you will never hear Satan in hell, which is where he's going to reside for eternity, say to somebody, do you know why you're here? It's because God wasn't willing to forgive you. He can never say that because God is willing to come to anyone who humbles him or herself, repenting, putting their trust in Jesus Christ. Totally forgiven, no matter how peculiar the sin is, because God's grace is way bigger than our sin. He's a stronger, he's a better Savior than we are sinners. And those people who have committed peculiar sins, they are welcome into the body of Jesus Christ. But wisdom demands that we are mindful of any potential dangers. It is not unloving to come up with rules for particular individuals to keep all parties safe. It should be done lovingly. It should be done in a way that is where there's an understanding that this does not mean you are a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. We just need to be smart here, and we have a responsibility to love other people. Therefore, here's the peculiars for you. Other than that, they are most certainly welcome in. If they are not living in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, they can take the Lord's table. God's grace is that big. And if somebody who is dealing with a peculiar sin as texted and is not being dealt with, that is so unloving. And it's so unwise simultaneously. I would absolutely lovingly and respectfully talk to the elders and say, look, I don't know, need to know the details of this, but perhaps you could explain to me why my perception, you correct me if I'm wrong, that an individual who is charged with something this peculiar has not been disciplined. And there might be an explanation. Maybe the individual repented. But if it was known that that sin was being committed, and it hasn't, it's publicly known, but it hasn't been publicly dealt with, that just undermines, I think, the office of elder. I think that it lowers the fence for church fellowship. And I don't think that it's loving or wise. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I just think there's a culture in a lot of churches that, and maybe it's the seeker sensitive culture that has brought in this fear of confrontation. That's why they don't do the discipline like they should. And because you want to bring people in, not send them out.
Right. Okay. Now, if you would read that text again, because I want to listen for a particular detail.
Okay. He asks, I'm assuming it's a he, but is it a separation issue if a church member charged with having child porn over a year ago hasn't been disciplined and still attends irregularly with no repentance?
Yeah. See, that's, we should, our heart, it should be, this, whoever this dude is, he's in serious danger. That guy's in big trouble. And if he's a member, that's our job. That's what we covenant to do together, to rebuke one another, to exhort, to rescue when necessary. That is our responsibility to one another. Would I leave the church over that? I certainly wouldn't until I talked to some elders respectfully, lovingly, to get the details straight. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Nathan. Todd, what would you say to someone like myself who has grown up in the church and has been heavily involved since day one, but can't exactly pinpoint the exact date I was saved?
Yep, this is, a lot of people experience that because they perhaps have a little consternation because they've heard that the born-again experience, so dramatic for some, that they can pinpoint, this is exactly where I was, this is the date, this is how long I've been a believer. And for those people, I say, praise God. But there are a fair amount of people that grew up in the church, and they always knew about Jesus. And I would put it this way, not in a salvific way, but they always believed in Jesus in that they affirmed what their parents believed. That's what children do. That's why we believe in a level of accountability where a child who maybe sings heartily, Jesus loves me, this I know, must confess, yeah, I believe in that Jesus. He loves me. I love him. I've turned from my sins, if you will, making their faith their own. There needs to come that point when an individual does that. They express it for themselves. For those, though, who have grown up always singing Jesus loves me, they find it difficult to pinpoint that date. And my encouragement, if you are one of those people, is don't think that you are excluded from the kingdom because you do not have a date circled on your calendar. Instead, ask a different question that I believe will give you assurance, if it's valid, and will help you to not feel like, oh, I don't have a date. The bigger question, it's not that it's not an important question to ask, when did you get saved? Tell me your conversion story. And by the way, there are many people who would say, I can't tell you the date, but I kind of remember that I was a junior in high school and I kind of went through this thing with it. Okay, there you go. That's close enough. It's when your life changes, when your affections change. That's your conversion story, not the date. The season is fine where you remember going, you know, I used to hate to go to church. I would go and I'd go to youth group and I got so sick of pizza and licking peanut butter out of the pastor's armpits. But suddenly I love going to church. I love reading the word. Okay, there's your conversion story. But if you can't pinpoint that because you grew up in the church, which is a blessing, ask the question, not when was I saved, but am I saved now? That's the important question. Because if you can answer that in the affirmative, that is far more important than being able to say when you became a Christian. It is that you are a Christian. you likely will be able to sort it out in time. The more years you get under your belt as a believer, you're going to have a better view. You're going to look back and go, you know what? I think now that I think about it, I think that I was about this time. And should you never get to that place, don't let that discourage you. That is not a criteria for salvation. It is that you are saved now. Ask that question and send stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, David is wondering, Todd.
Don't be all nervous.
I'm not.
We'll get it worked out. You watch.
Will Christians who have
professional Christian radio going on right here.
Will Christians who have tattoos still have them in heaven?
Why did you ask that question so late? We've only got 40 seconds left.
It's a test.
Will Christians still have tattoos in heaven? Well, it depends on what your attitude about tattoos. Will we have any of our physical peculiarities when we're in heaven? The answer to that question is, I don't know. I just don't. I know we're going to have a glorified body. And if the tattoo isn't sinful, is it going to still be connected to your skin when you get your resurrection body that's built for forever? I think that goes into the category of none of us can say definitively. Thanks for the question, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today, and thank you for investing in our ministry. I want to ask you if you would go a step further. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus commissioned us at the end of Matthew 28 to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations in every corner of the earth, we are asking if you would join this work by helping us to saturate this culture with the hope of Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to take our word for that. You can check behind us by checking out the ECFA. We are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry, Jimmy. I've got your back. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, could you create a list of all the stuff that you and I are at odds over?
I've got a lot of them. I've already got that list.
You've been working on it already. Okay, my list, I can think of one issue, and wow, it's a whopper.
Yeah.
That there are certain times when it comes to timing of the program where I say, hey, let's go back to the mailbag. And you look at me like, hey,
we got a minute left.
Just spread it out and make it work because it's too much of a run. If that is our biggest bone of contention, I think we could start a denomination with that kind of unity right there. But don't you worry, Jimmy. I've got you covered when it comes to emails. Receive this and you're going to say, Friel, this is so self-serving. And you can tell, I'm not going to argue with that because it actually is. This is from Canada. An individual took our drive-by theology lessons. It's 35 systematic theology lessons with Dr. Steve Lawson. It also has a study guide. And he actually went through all of the lessons. He condensed it down to 24 weeks. That's half the year, practically, going through systematic theology. And who attended this men's Bible study in Canada? Farmers. Mostly farmers. What a beautiful picture. Have you appreciated being in this body that the Lord has brought us into? When you think systematic theology, you think of academicians. These are, the theologians, they sit around and they talk about such things. No, these are believers, farmers in Canada, because this is not an academic pursuit to study theology. It is to study our God, to know our God better, to love our God more. And they concluded the course, and this pastor just sent a really nice note. Some of the comments that were made, why is this not being taught at a younger age? We used to. Can we do this same You know, we used to teach hermeneutics, too, to children. We used to teach them how to rightly divide the word of truth, which is another resource available at wretched.org. Can we do this same study again next year? Everyone in the church should do the study. What a beautiful picture. God brings in all shapes and sizes and colors, socioeconomic letters, different sort of laborers versus the executives, all in the kingdom. Why? Because of our love of Jesus Christ, which leads me to my next self-serving thought. That is why I am really excited to share with you next week a new initiative. One of the prongs of this approach, this assault that we are going to make in an effort to try to shine a light in the darkness is to teach believers, to help all of us take that theology from our heads. It's good to learn it, but it's got to do something. Shouldn't just sit there. We don't just want knowledge about God. We want to know Him, and we want to have our emotions changed by Him. We want our wills altered. Theology shouldn't just stay up in your noggin. And we are going to be launching a huge initiative that is going to attempt to do that and a whole lot more. Cannot wait to share it with you. It is going to be a very big initiative. And perhaps you're wondering, Friel, why do you keep teasing this thing? Because we're going to be asking you to respond. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to respond. We're going to ask you to pray for us. We're going to ask you to share what it is that we're going to be producing. And get ready. We're going to ask you to consider supporting it financially. We have a matching gift. Amazing. A $250,000 matching gift for this initiative because it's that big. And we're going to invite you to partner with us to reach more people, to equip more saints, to encourage more local shepherds. Be looking for that announcement and prayerfully consider how you might partner with us. And send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Thomas. Todd, when a man and a woman are on a date, who should be the one to pay for dinner? What biblical principles can be applied?
That is a bigger issue than I think meets the eye. Because it could be casually tossed off. Well, if she's got a job, she can afford it. Hey, this is the 21st century. But it is a signal issue. It is a role issue that you would do well to sort out on a casual date, because the man's role is to be the primary provider. That's our job. That is God's description for the position that men are supposed to occupy, that we're the provider, we're the protector, and the woman is the recipient of that provision and protection. And if you can't get it sorted out on a casual date, it's an issue that is bellwether for you. It's going to tell you what the dynamic is going to be like, and it will reveal both parties' understanding of the roles of men and women. Would I say that it's a sin for a woman to pick up the tab? No, but I'd ask why. You want to establish immediately, I can, I will, and I want to provide for you. That's my job. And I would suggest if you can't get that sorted, you aren't anywhere near considering marriage. I wouldn't get crazy over this, but it is a bellwether issue. It's going to tell you how things are going to go. It is a great revealer of one's attitude toward the dynamic of men and women in a marriage relationship. This is one, I think that's a great issue to sort out. Here's another one for you. This happens to be kind of almost a pet peeve thing for me, and that is joint bank accounts. If you aren't ready to have joint bank accounts, you aren't ready to be married. There, I just said it. If you, it's like, well, no, I've got to keep my, you're not ready to be married. Well, but she's getting married and student debt and nobody, you're not ready to be married. Get it sorted out. Because until your heart says, what's mine is yours. There's no longer yours, mine. It's all ours. That's it. We are one flesh. I'm going to accept your debts, which, by the way, you should disclose if you're dating. And you should be willing to say, then your debts are my debts. That is what a one flesh union is about. And one of the tells of a marriage that doesn't have that sort of unity is when they refuse to have joint bank accounts. I would also encourage you, consider theology. Do not overlook it. I think yesterday we talked about these levels of theology. You can't marry somebody that doesn't have first tier beliefs. The five solas, the essentials, non-damnable doctrine. You got to be square on that. But there are some secondary issues you would do well to get sorted out, because just like denominations that can't do church business together because of these differences, you're going to struggle in your marriage. Believe me, you're going to struggle in your marriage. I think those issues would be gifts. If you're a cessationist, you're dating somebody who says, no, speaking in tongues is good. Which church are you going to go to? Because one of you will go nuts. Well, one way or the other, they're going to get really frustrated. You don't want that. You want to get it sorted. Baptism, where you at on it? You got a Presbyterian and a Baptist. It's not like we're a bird and a fish. But the reality is it's going to be really hard when the kids are born. So get that stuff sorted. One of the most joyful things, it should be an exciting thing, but don't do it as an exercise because you have the end determined. Sit down to talk about these issues to say, you know, before this proceeds apace, we really should talk through some stuff. Because if we can't get that sorted, we're going to be in increasing danger of having our hearts united and then potentially torn apart. Let's do it now. And that should be something that could even involve other people. Oh, no. That's right. Even your parents. Let them help you. Let them help you. You know, if you want to do something bold, you're young. Call up your parents. Go visit your parents and say, can you tell me some of the decisions I made that you thought I shouldn't have made and that you would have advised me differently, but you didn't share it with me because I was a bit of a hard-headed knucklehead? And they're not gonna go to a file and go, yeah, we got that here. Dewey Decimal says knuckleheaded decisions, my kid. They're gonna know them. And without spending a whole lot of, they're gonna go, yeah, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have pursued that. You shouldn't have dated this person. You shouldn't have bought that vehicle. They're gonna and you're gonna hear it and you're gonna go, you mean you knew better? Yep. A lot of times they don't bat 1,000. Nobody does. but they bat better than you. That's the reality. Okay, so life is a baseball game. Let's go with this. Life is a baseball game. Your batting average, first of all, you hardly have a record because you just haven't been to the plate very much. Your parents, they've been at this game longer than you have been alive. They have been doing adulting longer than you've been doing living. How many gerunds can you smash into a phrase, Friel? I think I just answered that question. And they've got a higher average. And they can read pitches better. And they see the field better. And they know the dangers. And they see when the infield is moving in, when the shortstop is taking a different... They get all of that. And you don't yet. And that's okay. Someday you will. Until then, be wise. Consult with your parents. And dude, pick up the tab on a date. This is Wretched Radio.